fan.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? Big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, dig it.
Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying.
I think anyone who puckers up their lips and presses it against their boss's buttocks and then smooches is an ass kisser.
I seem to be inept at everything except my work. I'm good at my work, so I confine myself to that. All I want out of life is a 30 share and a 20 rating.
The man's enlarged my mind. He's a poet, warrior in the classic sense. I'm a little man. He's a great man.
Think of it as colors. There's black and there's white. And in between is mostly gray.
It's a little frustrating.
Now, gray is a tough color because it's not as simple as black and white. And for the media, certainly not as interesting. But it's who we are.
Frustrating.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Got my cell phone in case we make that big trade.
This is your... If you're Wes Johnson and you've got this bullpen, wouldn't you flee to Baton Rouge too? Leader fan radio network.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
And KFAN.com. 2 minutes, 8 seconds past 3 Central Daylight Time. Welcome back. Bumper to Bumper returns. It's a 3.5 hour tour on a lovely Tuesday summer afternoon here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. I am the host of the program. My name is Dan Barrero. Justin Gard is the producer of the show, and we welcome you back to the Savvy Afternoon Gabathon. It might be twin-centric a bit early. It looked like after an easy sort of toying with the Cleveland Guardians kind of game in the opening round of this series, we're in good shape to steal the first of a doubleheader today. How did we get there? Great pitching, great starting pitching again. Crafty starting pitching from the guy you like to rip all the time. You're not satisfied with our starter, are
Devin
you?
Smeltzer?
Devin Smeltzer.
I appreciate
every time
him.
He pitches, you look down on him because he doesn't have the pedigree.
No, what I like about pitchers. Him, there's a very specific reason why he's pitching well, and we've talked about it. He doesn't want to deal with the pitch clock in AAA. We ripped him for that at the time.
Whatever motivates him.
It's been great.
He was great again today. Probably didn't even deserve to give up the run he gave up because it was a sun-aided ball that dropped in to give Cleveland the first run of the ball game. We tie it, and then we go ahead 2-1 on a solo dong from Carlos Correa, who by all rights should have had a 2-run dong earlier in the game. I don't know why the winds and the baseball gods are always against us. We hit balls on the nose all the time, right into the hands of opposing defenders. Meanwhile, how many times has another team scored a run on a bleeder or back-to-back bleeders or bloops? It's endless how cheap so many of the runs are that are scored by the opposition. Regardless, we're up 2-1. All we need to do is get out of the eighth and ninth innings.
Six more outs,
that's all
man.
We need.
We've been there before.
And it didn't go very well, as most of you, maybe some of you know. At this particular juncture in the eighth inning. In fact, your guy, what was your favorite Emilio Pagan moment? Pagan comes on to pitch the eighth, and he gives up a walk, a wild pitch. And by the way, you throw a wild pitch at this ballpark, it might take you 3 days to recover the baseball. There's all kinds of room behind the backstop. Runners advance to second and third. Nobody out. What follows? Pagan next gives up a base hit. Suddenly, the 2-1 lead is a 3-2 deficit. Now, the game's not over. We'll monitor it for you. But a devastating turn of events. Pagan gets pulled at that point, and having not retired a single hitter. It's not been good lately for Emilio Pagan. He pitched 1 1/3 innings of shutout ball, I think against Colorado on Sunday. That's not bad. Do you remember what he did the two times before that?
I remember they weren't good outings.
Cleveland, the 11-10 loss. He pitched one inning, gave up 3 runs, 3 hits. The game before that was the night before that. Cleveland, 1 inning, 2 runs, 2 hits. So not a real good stretch for him. And as I said, if you're Wes Johnson and you have a chance to make, and I've confirmed this with a couple of my Baton Rouge sources, between $1.3 and $1.4 million a year.
Plus car stipend.
Yeah, that didn't even include the car stipend. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're going to do it on that basis alone. But if that's not enough of an incentive for you, then it's, how do I make something out of this? Out of this bullpen? Yeah, it's by, I guess, analytically and statistically, not a horrible bullpen, but it's a strained bullpen that is asking for trouble, that needs a talent infusion. Everybody knows it. He probably knows it. He says, what? Why am I going to allow myself to continue to be frustrated and aggravated as to, okay, which suspect do I throw out there out of the bullpen?
Yeah, you could say, can I throw Duran? Nope, he's not available.
That's it. Then you're just, it's Russian roulette at that point. You're just hoping on that occasion you get something out of the guy, and it might work on some occasions when you're playing, well, Colorado, for example, a terrible team. Then it probably isn't that difficult, as we learned, for your bullpen to look pretty good. But now you're playing at least a legitimate team again, but a team we had on the ropes. They'd lost 4 in a row for Mike Yeo, and we had them on the verge of their 5th consecutive setback. Maybe even with a chance to put them away. I don't mean just putting them away today. I mean put them away for good in the division. Who knows? Maybe they if they'd have lost game one here, they would be reeling to such a degree that they would not indeed recover. But now we're down to our last out.
Yep, we grounded into a double play a minute ago. We've got a runner on.
We grounded into a double play after getting a break on a swing and miss third strike that went to that backstop I just mentioned. Base runner makes it to first, beats the throw to first. Then, as you say, gets doubled up. Now we have another base runner on because of another a crappy defensive play. That's the only reason we've got a runner at first as well. So, again, these games, this is how it works. Even though it's a long season, this is one of those games, I think, when we're doing the post-mortem on the 2022 Twins, this is one of these games we put an asterisk next to. So you see, this might be one of those swing games where you say, well, where did it go wrong? Now, when I say go wrong, it might be that it's unavoidable to win the division. It might end up being unavoidable to win the division. We're not going to get in as I don't. We could have 8 wild card teams in each league, and I don't think we would make it as a
wild card. Seems unlikely at the moment,
given what's going on at least for now in the American League East. And by the way, speaking of the American League East, I meant to use this stat yesterday. This was before yesterday's and last night's game, so I haven't updated it. But entering into action yesterday, the top 4 teams in the American League East had a combined record of 175 and 115.
That's pretty good.
175 and 115. Top 4 teams in the American League Central, 139 and 146.
It's a little frustrating.
Bit of a difference. And it's now official, by the way.
Another strikeout for Arise today.
Yeah.
He had 2 today, at least.
Are you ready to trade him?
Well, he's getting a lot of publicity. Is it going to his head?
Well, maybe.
I mean, everybody's picking up the steam on him.
Well, to your point, it was described to me earlier that one of his swings and misses was a very un-Arise-like swing.
I heard that too. Yeah,
swing for the fences, kind of a swing. That's not our guy who's being celebrated as bringing back into fashionable territory batting average, which shouldn't be about trying to overswing. Not supposed to overswing. Bottom line is we lose a game we absolutely should have won. We were in position to win. And once again, what did it did us in? Wes Johnson's bullpen. Now, I could blame it on Wes. I could say, bullpen's distracted. Pagan, that was one of his guys. And Pagan was devastated. And he couldn't stop thinking about the pitching coach that got away. We can go with that, I guess, if you'd like. I prefer Wes finally figured out that there's the upside isn't up enough.
Right.
I don't need Major League Baseball enough, and I don't need to try to make chicken salad out of you-know-what regarding our bullpen. Maybe this is also a sign that he knew something, which won't shock anybody, but that he knew something, and that is Twins have no intention of between now and the trade deadline bolstering said bullpen. And he said, why bother?
He's been here long enough to know.
I extracted enough out of as much out of this bullpen and starting rotation as I possibly could, but there are limits to even me as a baseball pitching savant, a genius. There's still a certain minimum amount of talent you got to have to put in the equation. And he said, I'm going to have more talent pound for pound at LSU at that level than I do it with the Minnesota Twins at the major league level.
And at LSU with NIL and boosters, they're going to have a bigger payroll than the Twins would relative to the other teams, right? I got to imagine LSU's payroll is pretty good.
Massive.
While you were talking and while we were opening the show, I did just happen to take a look when you talked about the options that Wes Johnson has at his disposal as pitching coach for the Minnesota Twins. College baseball season just wrapped up, so all these statistics are final. LSU, Louisiana State University, has their pitching staff had the fourth best ERA in the SEC. You know, they're behind Vanderbilt, who always has major league pitchers.
Right.
They're behind Tennessee, and they're behind Arkansas. Other than that, I mean, they're in the top
position.
They've got a nice staff.
He'll take them the rest of the way.
Let's monitor this and see.
He brings them from 4-1.
Maybe, right?
Right.
That's what I think we have to take a look at. Nice. And he gets to spend more time with his family.
Grand in your hand?
And watch him spend all that money.
That's it.
The Fan and Hilltop Camper and RV are trying to put a grand in your hand. Not Wes Johnson money, but pretty good. Just for listening to The Fan, head to KFAN.com, enter the keyword bills. That's your shot at $1,000 this hour. KFAN.com, enter the keyword.
You're welcome.
Straw walks, Quan walks, Straw to second. Wild pitch by Pagan sends Straw to third, Quan to second. Then your guy Rosario singles to shallow center right up the middle. Two runs score. By the way, those are both considered good base runners. So bad enough that you let them on via walks. Then you give them a chance to get into scoring position. You got nobody out in the inning.
It's a little frustrating.
And suddenly the 2-1 lead is a 3-2 deficit. Your guy Thielbar comes in and does the job after that. He gets a strikeout. Rosario, by the way, caught stealing. It was one of those situations where a bad throw ended up being a break in favor of getting the base runner out because it allowed the fielder to sort of go across second, get to the ball, and as he catches the ball, makes a nice swipe tag. If the ball had been at second base, probably the runner would have been in. That's immaterial. Inning ends, but the damage already done. And then in the top of the ninth, Gordon strikes out, but he gets to first on a wild pitch by your guy Clase, who is pretty much unhittable, at least with us.
Mm-hmm.
Urshela then grounds into a double play. Shortstop to first. Then Miller, the first baseman, bungles what should have been the last out. We got got two breaks in the inning, and we didn't take advantage of either of them. Celestino's safe at first on a fielding error, but But then your guy, who you apparently are ready to turn on, Arise, he strikes out swinging. And the ball game is over. That's day. That's part one of the doubleheader. It's a day-nighter.
Yep.
I think game two starts our time, I want to say 6 o'clock. We can double-check that.
Our guy Winder on the mound.
Oh, Winder's back. That's right. Well, we'll see how long he lasts.
You know how we're probably more, we're not completely Kevin Kernan when it comes to baseball nerds, but we're probably more on that side of the spectrum, right?
We're not quite as extreme as Kernan, although we're delighted with having fun with him on that very subject, and we love his passion on it.
But there's a statistic called win probability added that the ball guys like, and that our guy Aaron Gleeman specifically cited this afternoon.
Yes.
In terms of Emilio Pagan, today is his fifth game of the season with a win probability added of -25% or worse. That's tied for the most among American League relievers. He has zero games, for the record, with a win probability added of 25% on the plus side or more. He has cost the Twins three games against Cleveland in the last week, like you say.
Shit.
And all of them, he said, reduced their win probability. Just his presence on the mound reduced their win probability, whatever you think of that stat, by at least 25% negatively.
That's not good.
Not ideal, no, in a big Central Division collision.
And I think that's the other thing. Among the assurances that LSU gave Wes Johnson is that Pagan will not be allowed to follow you to Baton Rouge. And that might have been... that might have been the added enticement that put it over the top. Yeah, of course, the family stuff's nice, and $1.3 million a year isn't bad. All guaranteed. I think it's guaranteed for the next 5 years. I think it's like a...
he's got a big buyout.
He's got a big buyout. It's exactly it. They have it set up where it's going to be a lot harder for him to leave them than it was to leave the Minnesota Twins, for whatever that's worth. And the money, as I said, just kind of keeps going up and up and up and up. My theory, by the way, on why the number keeps going up is people in college baseball want to perpetuate the notion that he's getting that kind of money because they think it'll be good for everybody else. They don't expect everybody else to get that level of money, but they go, well, we can't. That means everybody might profit a little bit when we pretend that he's making more money than he actually is.
You know the other
faith,
way that hurts
family
him,
and baseball is the headline in the Star
order.
Tribune. Faith, family, and baseball.
I look at that and I see, and we've talked about this before, I think he would be, whatever his actual salary is, and who knows, right? Let's just say it's $750.
Okay.
On LSU, he'd be like the ninth highest paid football coach, right? Their defensive coordinator makes like $2 million a year. But I think we can officially stop, and this is still, I'll never understand the decision that Minnesota made and others. There's no reason to cut men's gymnastics and men's tennis and swimming.
No, I think that pretense
is
over.
We got to get a grip on, I know it's done and it's over, but there's no school should be doing that in these bigger conferences with the money that's being thrown around and some of this stuff. Like, you can find the nickels and the dimes for everything else. And SEC's done it too, because they're...
It's actually becoming less and less defensible.
Well, and LSU,
you're right.
And LSU baseball there probably is some... I don't know if you're paying your coaches that much, but they probably don't lose as much money, or they probably make some money.
Got a like 30,000-seat ballpark, I think. Something like that.
They probably think they need a new one, too. They're probably shaking people down for that. But under no circumstances should colleges be cutting sports anymore in 2022.
No.
I don't think so.
No, they should be adding, if anything.
But
you're
there
right.
You go.
No, I think you're right. Probably right about that. Check that out with your AD guy. See what he has to say about it. So we lose game two after winning. I mean, we romped. It was a laugher last night, right?
11-1
11-1 and the one they scored literally, I think, down to their last out. It was a meaningless run in the bottom half of the ninth inning. And who was on the mound yesterday? The starter was Sonny Gray, right?
Yes.
And he apparently...
his last start with his guy.
...was very emotional about... He described himself as one of those guys who doesn't let very many people in.
Mm-hmm.
But as a compliment to Wes Johnson, he said, I let Wes Johnson in. That's how strongly I felt about him. Now, we just got him, right?
Sonny Gray, yes.
This is Sonny Gray. So Sonny Gray has been around Wes Johnson for... spring training was short, right?
Yep.
He's been around him for like 15 minutes.
That's how well he connected with
him. But he swears by him and said he was both, he was pissed off because he didn't want him to go.
Yep.
But he was emotional about how helpful he thinks he's been to him. And as it certainly appeared last night, like he was motivated, that he was inspired by it, and he pitched a gem.
7 innings.
Yes.
A pitcher went seven.
Seven. Could he have gone 8? I don't even know. I don't remember how many pitches he had.
Seems like last night he could have done anything.
Might not even matter. Yeah, you're right about that.
He was floating last night.
He was.
On a Wes Johnson adrenaline high.
We were absolutely, we were toying with, he was toying with the Cleveland Guardians lineup, which is not, as we said when they were with us last week, a bad lineup at all. So what are we now? We're still.
We're two games up.
Yeah, we're two up. Yep. So we still. And we still have 3 games left to go in this series, 1 tonight, and then night games, I believe. I don't know about the Thursday game, if that's a getaway day game. I think they're both night games. You can double-check that. Look at Smeltz's line. 1 earned run, 4 hits in 6 innings, walked nobody, struck out 9.
What an homage. He's probably making Wes Johnson more money. He's probably, has he There's signed no a contract yet?
There's no doubt. That's absolutely true. And the run, like I said, was kind of thin. It was a ball lost in the sun, I believe, that produced the first run of the game for the ultimately winning Cleveland Guardians, who had found themselves in a position where just competent relief pitching was going to get it done. And again, I don't know if Duran's not available. And I don't know, did he pitch last night? Is there any reason he wouldn't have been available, or we were just going to try to go 1 inning with him in the ninth? What's the Duran story? Do we know?
I don't know.
I don't remember. I have no idea what. I'm sure that'll be discussed, whether we're back to just trying to use him 1 inning. So we said, okay, we'll use him in the ninth. But again, pretty much everybody else you throw out there, you're just kind of closing your eyes. And you're hoping that they got something going. I know we had a nice stretch over the weekend when we were playing a crappy team where the bullpen looked better, looked improved. But I don't know how seriously anybody could have taken that. It's just undeniable. And I'm hoping at some point, maybe this is too much to hope, I'm hoping at some point that some of the veteran players, like a Correa. Correa can say whatever he wants. What are they going to do to Correa? Right? Nothing.
Nothing.
A veteran with a great resume like that, I'm hoping at some point, he has it in him to go, man. Because Donaldson, was it after last season
yes.
that Donaldson offseason basically was brutally honest
yes.
about the pitching and about what needed to be done? And, you know, Donaldson's become a pariah. He's become villain number one, and he's earned some of that. But that doesn't mean you throw out every message, that you delete every message he comes up with because it comes out of his mouth. Because some of those messages make some sense. And his warning was, I'll try to find it. We got to do something.
I thought
about
I might have had the audio, but I don't have it. But he did say that if we're not in the market for a starter and if we're not in the market for some more pitching, that's kind of where it all starts and ends. He was 100% right.
Here's the great, great stat. And I'm going to trust John and Duluth having done his research on it and vetting it or having vetted it. Twins have led in the 8th inning or later in all 5 games against Cleveland this month. Record, 2-3. If they pull out 2 of them, they're up 6 in the division right now. That's big. That's big. And whether his stat about the 8th inning is right or not, and it sounds right, and by the way, that has a lot to do with the pitcher today, Pagan, who did not get it done again. Leave that part of it out. Big difference between being up 2 and up 6. Doesn't that feel a lot different? Even in late June, you go up 6.
Dramatically different.
That's a nice, that feels pretty good.
Because what were we up at the beginning of the month? 7, right?
We were.
So, and we thought that was a pretty substantial lead. So, yeah, it's massively different.
When we come back, only dopes.
On the Fan.
Before we get to the very controversial only dopes take dope subject, which I know you were waiting for and expecting today, I understand that betting is becoming more and more directly connected to sports and the sports that once upon a time ran from that connection, at least publicly, are now begging for it. You can't get any closer. In fact, I meant to get to a story Sunday that I didn't, Apparently, coming soon to Wrigley Field is a betting parlor actually attached to Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
That's how close. So it's not only close metaphorically, it's literally going to be attached to Wrigley Field. So I understand that's the trend.
Yeah, they had that at the Guaranteed Rate Bowl at Chase Field where the where the Diamondbacks play, Arizona Diamondbacks. Walking into the ballpark, right to the right, there was a place where it looks like a ticket window. And it is, in a sense, because you can go and bet on games, whatever it was.
So I know I can't fight it. I know I'm tilting at windmills a la Don Quixote, if indeed I try to. In fact, we've even talked about maybe trying to get somebody who knows that business well on a semi-regular basis, if we could find the right person that fits us and that is interested. But I guess the part of the bit I don't understand is, put it this way, if we do that kind of segment, I don't want it to be whatever the odds are that Josh Donaldson is going to get a hit by the fifth inning. Or is he going to get one hit in the, if you're going to bet the over or the under on one as the number of hits he's going to get in the game. That doesn't interest me.
You're not into the gimmicky more, the prop bets more.
I sense sometimes that's part of the discussion just because, well, we've made a place for this.
Yeah.
We're making money with this relationship. But is that considered a prop bet? What kind of bet is that called? What is a prop bet? There's a bunch of Super Bowl prop bets, right? But what is that really?
I don't know what prop is for, if it's proposition, if it's prop whatever, or if it's just a prop on the side.
There's got to be better stuff to discuss than those one-offs, right? Like, he's going to hold the, I don't know, because I'd like it to be a stat that has more connection with who's going to win or lose. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so a lot of those really are fairly irrelevant to that particular outcome, win or lose. Now you could say, well, no, if Josh Donaldson's got four hits, there's a better chance the Yankees win, obviously. But I don't, those sorts of bets, in terms of discussing them beyond 30 seconds, I don't think that there's much there, do you?
Well, it's different, though. It's about, do you want to make money or do you want to know who's going to win the game?
Well, yeah.
Because that's what a lot of the issue is, or a lot of the intrigue is with gambling, is because you take that Josh Donaldson prop, you parlay it with another prop, and then maybe you throw it on a money line bet or on a point spread bet for somebody else, and then all of a sudden you've got a three-legged parlay, and you're watching a bunch of different things, and that's keeping you engaged, and at the end of it, hopefully you cash a big ticket. I mean, I think that, a lot of times I think props get parlayed into other things that then, you know, cause you to make more money. I think that's kind of the thrill for people with that.
All right, boothacafan.com if you can help me understand it or explain it. Are you familiar with a magazine called The Week?
Yeah.
I've quoted from it liberally. And The Week is basically a synthesis of what they describe as the best of the U.S. and international media. So they take a little bit from column A, a little bit from column B, a little bit from C, D, and E each week, and they kind of sort of do the week in review, issues, analysis, opinions, politics is covered, pop culture is covered, TV is covered, motion pictures, the cinema covered, et cetera, et cetera. And then they have a page that they call briefing. And briefing is about taking a given subject, whatever it could be each week, and trying to go a little bit more in depth on it to get people perhaps to better understand it. And the briefing a week ago contains the headline that reads, "The Rise of Legal Cannabis. A growing number of states are legalizing recreational marijuana as sales soar." And they ask the question, will there be a hidden cost? And I can already hear the dope community, the marijuana community, sighing in anticipation and fear and loathing about what might be coming. Because every time we bring up this particular subject in this context, several of them lose their bleeping minds, which I thought if you use pot a lot, you don't lose your mind as much. I thought that was the whole idea. It's supposed to mellow you out. Is that not correct?
I think that's it. Yeah.
In any case,
relax a little bit.
Couple items from this particular briefing. By the way, it's not legal here yet, right?
Because that's,
did we even have a bill? I mean, we had the sports gambling bill, but then everything imploded between the Republicans and Democrats, so we and we're not going to have a special session. So we're done in that regard. And the bill probably wasn't going to be there weren't going to be accommodations between the Senate side and the House side anyway. Was there even a legal cannabis bill that was on the table that also got basically sacrificed because we weren't able to make a number of other bigger deals between the righties and lefties?
Tons of discussion. I don't remember.
I'll ask Kessler.
Yeah, I don't remember.
He would know. They note in this piece, nation has seen a seismic shift since Washington and Colorado became the first states to legalize recreational cannabis a decade ago. Rhode Island became the 19th state quite recently to end pot prohibition. Another 20 states have legalized medical marijuana, including Mississippi, Missouri, and West Virginia. Is medical marijuana legal here? I should know, and I don't. I think it is.
I think it is.
I have a hunch that it is. Some 44% of Americans now live in states that allow recreational cannabis use. Business, by the way, because it's always about business, as you know, through the roof. Last year, sales of legal cannabis hit $2.5 billion, and they are projected to top $40 billion by 2025, and by 2030, $57 billion.
Oh, ho, ho!
Huge tax windfalls. It's why many states are jumping on the legal bandwagon. Since licensed sales began in 2014, states have received $10 billion in various tax revenues. $10 billion. Think how many stadiums you could build with that. Think about it.
At least 7 or 8 U.S. Bank Stadium, New Wolves Arena.
Would that be the answer for A-Rod and Lori?
They
go big with the pot community that lobby, and you end up, better chance you use that money to help build a new basketball arena.
Is marijuana allowed in Tulsa? I suppose if you grow it.
Oh, yeah.
Sustainable?
I think it's got to be.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's got to be. It's very natural.
It is.
There's no question about that. What other interesting nuggets are there before we get to the controversial parts? Both Illinois and Massachusetts, this is fascinating to me, took in more tax dollars last year from marijuana than from alcohol sales. Does that surprise you? Shocks me. More tax dollars last year from marijuana than alcohol sales. The $112 million Massachusetts collected was more than triple the initial projections. And cannabis entrepreneurs are salivating over the official opening of the legal market in New York City, where the first legal sellers may be licensed by year's end, and many city streets already reek of weed.
Yeah.
I'm just reading from the piece.
We've got that, too.
You can find those locations?
Oh, yeah.
Seriously?
Yes. You can smell marijuana basically anywhere you want
okay. In
this town, whether it's legal or not. And I'm not passing judgment on it. I'm just saying.
Sounds like it might be.
Doesn't make them special, these cities. We've got that, too.
New York is going to be Amsterdam on steroids, said cannabis investor Gene Sullivan. Why aren't we cannabis investors?
I've thought about it.
Is it probably too late now?
Yeah.
You probably had to get in on the ground floor.
You'd be better off, yeah, but I think there's still some room.
Think so?
As Pete Najarian would say, on the upside.
But as bud tenders at legal dispensaries, get it? Bud tenders. Not bartenders, bud tenders. At legal dispensaries, do a boffo trade in gummies. How do you say this word? Is it tinctures? T-I-N-C-T-U-R-E-S?
No idea.
How do you pronounce that word? And what is that?
Somebody will tell us.
That's liquid form, is it not? And high-grade sativa strains? This is how much I'm not embedded with inside the cannabis community. Some question whether there are underappreciated costs of legalizing cannabis. Huh? You mean there might be another part of the story, another side of the story, that it might not all be duckies, bunnies, peaches, and cream? Or are those just the hysterics who want to take us back to the days of, what was the name of that anti-marijuana movie from the 40s or 50s? Oh my God. You probably didn't have to see it. It's going to drive me crazy. It'll come to me in a minute.
I'm looking it up.
a movie that has been openly mocked, ridiculed, satirized.
Reefer Madness?
Reefer Madness.
1936.
Exactly. Or is this just an attempt to turn us back towards Reefer Madness hysteria when it comes to pot? Oh, there's a lot more to get to on this story, and we will pursue it.